Yeah, the hurricane flow is short for Florence. So it's just a twofold thing, because anytime you say, well, we're blessed because it missed us, then guess what? Hit somebody else. So we have some sister churches that are in North Carolina, and so we'll be getting in touch with those guys and figure out how we can help them and what we can do to help. So the guest service folks will have the offering basket by doors on the way back, and we'll do this for the next few weeks. And so if you'd like to help and be a part of the helping those guys, feel free to give, and that entire offering will go to them. Let me pray for you before we start. That'd be all right? Keep your eyes open, if you would, this way. Look this way. Father, we ask you for the next few moments for you to minister to us. In your mind, you set up a system like this where your word would be open and it would be taught, and that you said that there would be a grace and an anointing that would allow your word, which is alive, to penetrate our hearts, to instruct us, to teach us, to encourage us, to minister to us. And so we release now your word to do just that, your grace and your anointing over this congregation, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in this series, we're calling it Stuck. We've been in it for a number of weeks, and someone asked the question and says, are we stuck and stuck? And the answer is no. We're doing well, but there's just so much around what God is, I think, is saying to us right now as a congregation. And I want to start this morning with Romans chapter 8, if we could. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that God causes, would you say that next word with me? Everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to, say it with me, his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And that having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them a right standing with himself. And having given them that right standing, he gave them his glory, which is his presence, his weight. He said, I will be with you. My glory will be with you. Now, I want to take this and overlay it over the chart that we've been using. And it's a chart that has to do with God, who is eternal. God always has existed. He was not created, and he always will exist. Yes? Yes? He's eternal. There's no time there at all. So God, living in eternity, the Bible says, looked down, and he created a time-space world where now God's purposes are being lived out. But while God, eternity existed before time, he looked down and he knew us. Before we ever conceived in our mother's womb, he knew us. He watched our life. We were no surprise. And he looked and worked out his purpose to happen in our life, and he worked the whole thing out. Then, now he plugs and play. Now he puts us there, down in a time-space world, so that now we can live out the purpose that he's created for us. Excuse me. That's why phrases like this are important. That while we live out our life, then how many things in our life that happens to us is God taking to conform us to his purpose? And the answer is everything. Every person, every situation, everything on the job, everything in the family, nothing goes without God taking it, if we would allow him, and working it to conform us to the image of Christ, so that just like Christ walked and was obedient to God, we will. That he'll have brothers like him, that he was chosen and we're chosen. You just need to, I think that's one of the things the enemy robs from people, the sense of purpose and destiny. You're chosen. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Would you just say that with me? Say, I am chosen. How does it feel to be chosen? Who was the guy on the TV show that was on the movie who was the chosen one? The Matrix. What was his name? Oh, who? Neo. Well, hello, Neo. And whatever the feminine would be. You're chosen. And you're chosen and placed in this world at this time to accomplish a purpose. No one else can do it. Living that life on purpose and having now God to work that out in your life and mine, that's what existence is all about. I mean, it is, we're talking about the fact in this that we are not where we have been. Would you say that with me? I am not where I've been. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I'm not where I'm going to be. But I am where I am. And it's in this middle ground, this transition period, is where we want to talk about, because much of our life is spent there. I want to read you a quote from Jim Branch, his book, The Blue Book. Jim says, so much of life is lived in the in-between, between the now and the not yet, between arriving and departing, between growing up and growing old, between questions and answers. And Lord, help us not to live for the distant day when the in-between will be no more, but help us to have the courage to step into the sacred space of the in-between, knowing that this is a place where we really are transformed. So let me ask you a question in light of that. Let me go back to the chart. Transformation, does it happen more here or here or here? In the in-between. That's where the transformation takes place. William Briggs, in his book, Managing Transition, says this: every transition begins with an ending. We have to let go of the old before we can pick up the new, not just outwardly, but inwardly. So all of life is about these transition periods where we are now, will later on, we'll transition from. So where we are, we're not going to stay here, are we? No. Well, if I ask you, what is the one thing that people say the most they want to hear from God the day they cross the line and they face Him? What's the answer? Right? You are my good and faithful what? Now, let me ask you a question. And this is the line, if this is eternity, and we have all these transitions that we go through, and the transition we're going through is the molding and shaping. But what if we resist it? What if we don't allow things to conform us? And what if we stay stubborn and arrogant and stay set in our ways and stay unkind and stay mean or whatever we are? And what if we just refuse and we go through a transition and the next one, same way, next one, same way? Do you think that we're going to cross that line and He goes, oh, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. You did a great job. Would you agree with me that in order to have that to happen across the line, that when we're going through this transition, we're molded and shaped, and there's a many well done, another many well done. A release here. My hands are off here. I'm trusting You here. So that the culmination of all the transitions of where I've been and where I'm coming, You add them all up together, and now there is a well done. So these moments are incredibly important. Bob Buford wrote a whole book on finishing well. I want to finish well, don't you? What does finishing well mean? I think. Anybody remember when you started your walk with Christ? You remember what it felt like to even comprehend in a small way that His righteousness has been given to you, that you're going to heaven, that your sin's forgiven? You remember that feeling? I remember laying my head down on a pillow and how good it felt. You remember the hunger for God? You want to know Him better? the hunger for his word. You remember, you couldn't wait to be in church, or you couldn't wait to be a part of a small group, and you wanted to talk about God and felt it. Just this. I think that finishing well is having that to continually happen in our life, so that the dry places create the thirst, so that the transitions create the hunger. And I'm knowing him better, and I'm growing better, and I'm expanding. And as I am expanding in my understanding and releasing the old, comprehending the new, then my world gets bigger in terms of the effectiveness that we have. And then by the time we get to the line, we love him more than we've ever loved him. We have more passion than we've ever had. I think finishing well is growing in all those capacities. Because see, I think sometimes we think life is just unplugged, without purpose. You just bounce from day to day. Whatever happens, it just happens. And we don't realize that God has a purpose. And everything that's taking place, every single thing, he is working everything. Every moment, every word, every deed, he's working everything because he has his mind on our conformity. There's a purpose. And that purpose is for us to be conformed to his image. But in order to do that, we've got to give up smaller thinking. The other week's message, we talk about when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But now I have put it away so that in this transition, I can have a better understanding. My paradigms can shift. My prejudice can shift. Some stuff can shift in my head of how I used to think. And now I can grow in my understanding. And now I can comprehend better. Now God's purpose can come to pass. Does that happen automatically? No. Intentional. And you know, anybody here getting older except me? How many of you realize that as you get older, things shift around a little bit? Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all kind of movement going on, aren't there? Yep. How about internal? If we could take a look at the internal world of your spirit person who was born again when you were saved, and that same spirit person now is getting older and growing more mature. It's not just existing. It's not just living in a body. It's like your body. It's being transformed, hopefully, to the image of Christ. But it's more mature now than it ever has been. There's more a likeness to Christ than it ever has been. And we don't want that to stop, do we? Do you understand that there's some people that the day they got saved, they have never understood the inner journey that you take? That you take this inner journey so that this happens and your spirit man grows, and what happens to you is not an accident. It's used for conformity, and they understand how to give in to it and let it happen. And some who just resist it, and so they are just as old as they was the day they were born again. The writer of Hebrews writes about that. He says, there's a time that you ought to be teaching, but you're still drinking milk. Why? Because this internal journey we're talking about, this understanding these transitions and letting them work for us and with us, is not happening. Now, what I want to do, I got 2 points I want to make today. One of them is this. How do you know when you're going into a transition? How do you know what this looks like right here, this line, when you're about to go in here? What's happening at the door, the threshold, when you start to go in there? All right, because here's the truth. All of us probably are just getting ready to go into one, or we're in the middle of a transition, or we're coming out of one. Yes? Yes. So how do we know if you're going into one? Let me give you some characteristics. Anybody here restless? Anybody here have been self-doubt? Anybody here lost motivation? Anybody feel stagnant? Anybody here has a diminished sense of confidence? Wait. Everybody has those. Sure. We do, but they don't hang around. When you're in a transition, they tend to linger. And now, while you're here, this is what's happening oftentimes in your inner world. There's a lack of direction. Now, for how many type A do we, don't raise your hand, how many type A's do we have that you've got to have direction or it drives you nuts? I mean, if you were to leave the home to go somewhere and didn't have the hotel nailed down where it's going to be, have it mapped out the time you're going to get there, huh? Can't stop at the store, it's going to mess my clock up. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that those kind of type A people, if they hit this transition, they're going to struggle. Because in a transition, you don't drive. In a transition, God has you in a place that He wants you. Now, you may take hold of the steering wheel and try to drive. But how many of you know if you fix the fix that God's fixed, then He'll fix you? What happened to Abraham? Why do you think Abraham, God waited till 100 years old? Why? He said, Abraham, I got to develop you. And this thing of waiting is not your strength. This thing of believing in miracles is not your strength. Your strength, you can get it done yourself. Your thing is, when I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to have a baby. And I just need to help you understand that I'm the source of life and you're not. So let's go to about 75. How about 85? Is the work done yet? No. How about 95? Give up, Abraham. No. About 100 years old. Okay. I'm dead. It can't happen anyway. And God said, now you're ready. Now you're ready. Because in transitions, friend, God's working and molding so that you release, so that you take your hands off and you trust Him now. You let what happens need to be happen. But this period is not fun. Because then look at the next one, a distance from God. Anybody ever had a season where God wouldn't talk to you? I mean, it's like it's just all heaven went silent. Anybody other than me ever walked around and said, are you there? Transition periods, oftentimes that's how it seems. Isolation. Anybody here having any relational conflict and tension? How about you feel a lack of effectiveness? Or how about a struggle to stay focused, stay motivated? You put all these together, friends, and what you have is you have this kind of experience that sounds like a transition. Well, Mike, can you say that any simpler? Sure, since you ask. You put all those things together, and it makes you feel like something needs to change. You put all those together and something needs to happen. You put all those together and you get hungry for God. You put all those together, you realize you're not in control of your life. You put all those together and the feelings drive you to a place where you say, I need an encounter with God. I need something to change is a good way to know God's probably got you in a transition. Because in that transition, as we respond to God, now some other things start to happen. So some of you are asking, where's my passion? Am I losing my mind? No, you're just ready for another place. Why am I so isolated? Why is there conflict everywhere? Because God wants to do something. He's not done with you. He's actually working on you. Now, what I want to do, and I want to give you five areas that you can know you're in a transition and begin to figure out how to help and cooperate with the Lord. So get out your pencil and paper. Let me give you five ways that you can cooperate with the Lord in the transition period. The first one is simple, and that is that there's an entry point there's an entry point when you start waking up to the fact that there's some of these things going on. I'm isolated. I've got relational issues going on. I feel alone. And there's a hunger for more. And it's like before then, life is just a struggle, and it has not registered with you. I'm in a divine appointed place. Every single thing in life is about God working His purpose in my life. Yes? And so what's happening to me is not an accident, and the timing is not an accident. And friends, this has nothing to do with age. If you're here and you're a teenager, this is so much God's purpose and plan for your life that you grasp this early on. Because God's got a plan, and life is about cooperating with it so that now you're conformed. And what you've gone through that you feel like has so sunk your boat and got you off of the playing field, you can only believe that if you don't believe that God can't work everything for your good. You're not off the playing field. I don't care if you're 99. The purpose of God is still working its way out. So, the entry point, when it's an awakening. Okay. It's not just happening. It's just not coincidental. It's not just a bad day. It's just not bad business. It's just not a bad decision. I'm in a place that I'm entering into this transition period. Why do you think David, when he was running from Saul, and Saul had all of the armies of Israel after him, and he'd already been anointed to be king, but he finds himself in a wilderness hiding from Saul. And the Bible says that this is interesting because God put he made Israel, the army, go to sleep. And they're in this dead sleep. And David walks right in beside his enemy, Saul, and he had his soldier there with him. And the soldier says, took his sword and said, "Let me take him out. He's right there asleep." Why? You're in transition, David. I got to know if I can trust you as a king. Kings are under authority. Can I trust you? Because I got to develop you as a man who's under authority. And David says, no. God made him king, and I'm not going to take him out. Even though I think he deserves to be taken out, I won't do it. And the transition worked. And David became king. Entry point. The second one is this. Is this now an evaluation phase? You've had the awakening that you got out of the natural world, and now you see things spiritually. You're in this place that God has you. And you realize he wants to do something. And now you start this honest evaluation process where you start asking yourself serious questions. God, what is it you want to do? What is it you want to change in me? Where am I on this conformity scale? What is it at this stage you're addressing? What at the last phase did I not address and let you at? Now, what is coming up again in my mind that you're after this time inside of me? Show me. Show me. You start evaluating. Is it my fault? It's at this stage you start getting internally more honest. So much of the time we live in a defensive mode, you know, self-protecting. So much of our time is spent not letting truth get at us. When in fact it's the truth that what? Sets us free. So you want truth. And this evaluation process, you start to internally get a little more honest and you start wanting truth. I mean, if you go to a counselor And you pay the, you know what the counselor's going to do? Tell you the truth. About who? About you, right? Because you didn't know the truth. Or you wouldn't accept the truth. Or you were not ready to come out yet and you needed somebody else, which is a wonderful thing, can pull up beside you and tell you the truth that you didn't want to receive. Or you were not ready to receive. Or you were ready, but just couldn't formulate the words or the concept. You just needed somebody to lay it out for you. And there you go. And so they just tell you the truth about you. And it starts setting you free. That's the second phase. The third phase is this alignment phase. And this alignment phase is now when you start, you just start getting more honest. There's something that happens in a transition period, if it really works, that starts inside something happening that you're less defensive, you're more honest, and you're more hungry for truth, and you can receive truth. And as that happens, you find yourself aligning yourself with God, aligning yourself with His Word. You find yourself now aligning yourself with the fact you've got to trust Him. Aligning yourself with the fact that your life is not on your own terms. Aligning yourself with the fact of what's happening in the business and what's happening in the marriage or in the relationship. There are something to that you need to see. And so you align yourself with God. And that alignment with Him is the first, in the transition, the first kind of breath of peace. Because now that alignment has a side to it that so ministers to you. Then, as you align yourself with God, as you just find yourself just, and you, sometimes you don't even know the words for it. You just know that there is a submission to. And submission, friends, is a big, big word. I mean, all through Scripture, one of the things that pushes back at this process is our own self-will and rebellion. I mean, that really pushes back, and it takes a point of surrender. And we submit to God and submit to where we are. I mean, do you know you can fight yourself all the way through a transition and never have the work of God done in you? All you're doing is fighting until there's a point where you say, God, I give up. You're God and I'm not. And I'm going to align my life with you. And every lie the enemy's told you about how you missed life and how it's not going to work and all that stuff, it's just not true. When you start aligning with God, you start finding direction. Because God's purpose for you, see, is not fulfilled yet. And now this alignment brings this direction that starts to happen. And this direction phase, which is the fourth, it's the first sense, like I said, of peace, but of destiny now. It just slowly starts to surface and confusion that you thought you'd never get out of. You never thought you could get peace back. You never thought life could get this buoyancy back to it. You never thought that sacredness of life. It just, now it begins to have some sense of, yeah, okay, the future is there. I may not see it all, but God has a future for me. And it's almost like the lessons you've learned from the past and what God is teaching you now kind of merge together. And because there has been these transitions before, and He has led you before through tough times, and you have learned some stuff, and God's taught you. Now, something starts to register. He's doing it again. There is a future. Yeah, that's exactly what He's doing. It's a new thing for me. And then number five, the last one is this. The end result is convergence. And this is a wonderful day. Because keep in mind, this happens over and over again in our life. We have this convergence, and then later on we'll have it again. But here's how it looks. We're walking along. We're walking through the steps. We enter. We start assessing, evaluating. Our heart starts to be submissive. We start to align. And now we start to have insight. Our mind and paradigm shifts. Some of the stuff in us are exposed. And now we start to merge. And we see a divine stream that God has running. And now we see our life merge into it. And we realize that He's had this going on all along. The purpose He had for you and me, our life merges into, and now we see it and feel it. And that's when, friends, that's when you have the unique sense. When you merge what He's been doing in you, and it merges into this larger stream of His purpose. And then sometime you have this thought. This is what I was made for. This is it. It may not be the complete thing, but right now, I could not be any more in the purpose of God happening and any more fulfilled. Any more life could not have packed in any more than what this moment brings me. And friends, that's the place that God wants for all of us. But let me ask you a question in closing. All that I've described to you today, some of it is very unpleasant. Nobody likes to feel lost, right? Nobody likes to feel out of control, right? Nobody likes to feel disconnected. Nobody likes a lot of those states that are in this transition. So here's my question. Can you be in a state like that and have all those feelings and yet be in God's will? Yes or no? Well, I just thought God was so good, and I just thought His peace would flood me all the time, and I'd never have any of those feelings. Wrong. Well, Mike, I thought He's a good dad. He is a good dad. He's a very good dad. He's good enough to let you go through what you need to go through so that you are conformed to what He wants you to be. He's a good dad until He'll let that thing keep on until now the conformity happens and the discipline happens because He's a good dad. And then He'll cheer you on once you get to the other side. So what I want to do is, don't you stand. And we're going to sing a song. And here's the purpose of this before you go. So unless you have to go, please don't. Because here's what I want to happen. Some of you are top of the mountain. Everything's wonderful. Some of you are at the bottom. But the one line that keeps you going through all this is that you learn to worship when you're at the top. And you learn to worship when you wear at the bottom. His purpose is still happening. I know what we feel. I know how it looks. I know all those feelings we described, they're real, but there's something that's more real. And that is His faithfulness to get us through this thing if we follow Him. And He is faithful all the way. Can you say yes?